I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, folks, another edition here of Krantz's Corner, and a very special one because every year as the football seasons come about, I start off the college football season every year when I talk to this gentleman, my next guest here in Krantz's Corner. It's Phil Steele, and once you know the name and you know what I'm about to talk about with him, he's a college football insider, but he's the publisher of Phil Steele's College Football Preview Magazine. This year, by the way, exclusively at Barnes & Noble or Books A Million, or go to philsteele.com to get it. I like to call it the College Football Bible. I love talking to Phil. Phil, first off, welcome back to Krantz's Corner. Love speaking to you about college football.
Hey, Zach, I appreciate you having me in Krantz's Corner. Always enjoy our conversations, my friend. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, great start. I told Phil right before we started, this now is the start of the college football season for me. After this interview is over, I am ready and jacked up for college football. But let's do this, Phil. This is the first time we're actually talking about this, and it's not just kind of a wordplay of what might happen. The expansion of college football into the playoffs, the big expansion playoffs, how much has this changed your overall outlook on college football and the landscape this upcoming season? And how much different was it for you previewing everything, knowing that the expansion is going on finally this season for college football?
Well, you know, Zach, I don't think the 12-team playoff dramatically changed my write-ups on the teams. The one thing that did, of course, was the transfer portal, which right. made us go to the press a little bit later than usual. We went to the press June 7th. We used to go to the press mid-May, but, you know, the portal closed April 30th. We had to capture everybody from the month of May and all the way into June. But I do think we've captured pretty much every player that's going to play and contribute this year is on the right team in the magazine. But as far as the 12-team playoff go, I've always been a 4-team guy. But after last year with Georgia missing out on the playoff, and I think if Georgia had made the playoff last year, they probably would have won it. Florida State being undefeated, missing out on the playoff. What the heck? Let's go to the 12-team. And, you know, what I've noticed this year, Zach, is that the fan bases in places like Penn State and Ole Miss now have a legitimate shot at making the playoff, and they're all juiced up for it, as opposed to the past where it was pretty much the same teams every year.
Right. It was Ohio State. It was Alabama. It was Georgia. It was, you know, one other team maybe that snuck in there, the Clemson of the worlds, and that was it. Now you're right. And even down here in South Florida, and we're going to get to that in just a second, a lot of buzz because of the fact of the expansion and the fact that a lot more teams can get in and have a shot in the tournament towards the end of the year. I want to start with this, though, and kind of get it out of the way. The SEC, Texas and Oklahoma now joining Big Ten. They added kind of the West Coast into their mix. Your thoughts on now, like how it's right in front of us. It's not just a talking point anymore. This season coming up, we're going to see these matchups and see these teams in here. I think it's the end of expansion for now. A lot of the commissioners coming out and saying kind of we're good for now, we're good. But it's happening now, finally. Instead of the talk, it's happening. What do you think about, first off, what's going on in the SEC this season and then Big Ten after that?
Well, pretty excited about both the SEC and the Big Ten. I am a little remiss, though, the fact that the Pac-12 has gone aside. And
right.
Now, all of a sudden, we've got Cal and Stanford playing in the Atlantic Coast Conference. I'm still scratching my head how that works out. But maybe call it the All-Coast Conference now.
Right.
But as far as the SEC goes, I think the addition of Texas and Oklahoma just makes it an even stronger conference. Those two both come in as very talented teams, and I think they'll be able to compete. In fact, I've got Texas playing in the SEC championship game. And the same thing in the Big Ten. When you look at the Big Ten this year, you know, I think Oregon, when they come in, I've got them playing in the Big Ten title game. I think that the Ducks are capable of, you know, the talent they have on hand that Dan Lanning has accumulated these last couple of years. They really are a loaded team. So I think both Oregon and Texas have the schedule and the talent to actually get to the title games in their first year. And I'll say this, Zach, I think when the 12-team playoff comes out, you know, the ACC champ is in, the Big 12 champ is in, the group of five will get one in there, Notre Dame will be in there. That leaves you eight spots. Right. I got a feeling that the SEC and the Big 10 are going to hog most of those eight spots.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is the big this is the big talking point for when there was four teams in there, how the SEC would get two and maybe even deserve the third team in there for a couple of years. And now all of a sudden we're at 12 and we might see a handful of those teams in there between the SEC and the Big Ten. You brought up Cal jumping over the SEC to the ACC. You got this expansion here in the ACC, which I think is unbelievable. SMU now in there also. It's just amazing when you look at kind of the forecast for the ACC this year as well, knowing you have a couple Cal teams in there. You have now Rhett Lashley bringing SMU in there. It should be fun in the ACC this year as well.
Yeah, definitely a lot of fun in the ACC. And, you know, something different this year, Zach, than in past years is the fact that I have to pick a 17-team conference here in the ACC. I have to pick, you know, there's no divisions. I'm not picking eight. And so you pick a team 11th, and everybody's like, oh, my God, you've got them low. It's like, hey, they're ahead of seven other teams, for crying out loud. So it's it is the first time I've had to deal with this in the 30 years of the magazine, having 18 and 17 team conferences to pick like this. But let's go to the ACC.
Right.
And I think it is going to be a highly entertaining league this year. You know, you look at teams like NC State plays the best schedule in the ACC. They've got Louisville, Virginia Tech. I believe SMU steps in and is a contender in their first year. They are a really good team coming in. But the three teams I have at the very top of the ACC, the ones that I tied for first, and a lot of people say, how do you pick so many ties? Well, there's only nine possible outcomes. You know, you can go 8-0 all the way down to 0-8, and you have 17 teams. There's going to be ties, people. But I've got Clemson, Florida State, Miami of Florida all tied for first in the ACC this year. I think that's going to be pretty entertaining.
Now, what do you think about, and we'll get to Miami in just a second, Florida State. Obviously, Jordan Travis not there anymore. But the more I look into this team, the more I read your Bible, the more I read into everything in Florida State, they might have one of the better running games this year, offensive line and run depth in that running back room. That could be the offense, right? Do you think that that's what the Florida State kind of, you ask them what the identity and offense is this year? I think it's run the ball right down people's throats this year in Tallahassee.
Yeah, and, you know, the surprising thing to me, Zach, was, you know, you look at all the losses Florida State had from this past year, like a Jordan Travis. They lose their top running back. They lose their top three receivers. They lose most of their top tacklers on defense. But going over the team with Coach Norvell, he feels this may even be his best team that he's had.
Wow.
The key is going to be the quarterback situation with DJ Uiagalelei coming in. And keep in mind, when Jordan Travis came in from Louisville, he was far from the finished product, and Mike Norvell developed him, and he was at his best his senior year. Let's see if he can do the same. He's got good clay to work with here. I mean, DJ was the number one rated quarterback coming out of high school. Hasn't quite lived up to the hype at either Clemson or Oregon State, but maybe this new system, maybe Mike Norvell can get the most out of him. And he's got a good supporting cast. You touched on it, Zach. My number five rated offensive line. They've got the running backs with Williams, Toafili, Lucas, and Holmes. They're pretty deep there. And defensively, they've got talent. Remember, he hits the transfer portal very hard.
Right.
And hits a lot of home runs in the transfer portal, which is huge. So I do think Florida State remains near the top and is a clear-cut contender this year.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. When you have a good run game, good defense, and Mike Norvell's proven to be a pretty good coach up there in Tallahassee, you're always in the mix there. Clemson, is Clemson's run, you think, over at this point of them dominating the ACC? I know that we added teams in there, that's fine. But they had a dominant run for a couple of years where it was them and it was everybody else in the ACC. Is that kind of over, or did teams catch up? What do you think there?
Yeah, I think that the era of dominance is over, but I don't think the era of contention is over. I think Clemson's going to be a contender every single year, including this year. And, you know, the one thing that I hear a lot and also read a lot is, you know, Dabo's not hitting the portal, so he's falling behind on the times. But this is really a team that might have the best chemistry of all teams in college football, because all these players were recruited for Clemson. They're all top athletes. I mean, he brings in great recruiting classes on a yearly basis. He's got a lot of stars on the team. Cade Klubnik, his quarterback, is the number one rated quarterback coming out of high school when he came out. And they've got my number nine rated offensive line, number 17 rated defensive line, one of the top defenses in the country. And they're not bringing in portal people, which are disrupting the chemistry or disrupting the culture of the team. So they're not losing a lot of players to the portal. I think Clemson's under the radar. And look at last year. Last year they lost four games games, but in those four games, they had a 94-60 first down edge. The Florida State game. Florida State went undefeated last year, right? Yep. Well, Clemson didn't trail a single second in that game. In fact, they're leading, driving for a score to go up by two scores, and they fumble, and it's returned 70 yards for a touchdown. Got Florida State back in the game. But overall, they sort of dominated the game with a 25-16 first down edge, outgained them by 100-some-odd yards, but lost it in overtime. So keep your eyes on Clemson this year. I think they're going to surprise some folks.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Interesting. Yeah, it'll be fun to see what happens there at the top of the ACC. We're going to get to Miami in just a second, but they open the season with the Florida Gators. Listen, I know we've heard some news up there with Billy Napier, and we had this and we had that. I want to just talk football with these guys and about these guys. What does Billy Napier have going on in Gainesville right now? The good, the bad, and I hate to say the ugly also, but is Florida up there? I know they're not top 25 material right this second, but do you think by the end of the season they'll be closer to that, or do you think that they're kind of where they are right now, maybe until next year?
Yeah, I think they have that potential, actually. Rather sneaky, I think, was where they are. Because, and you remember Mike Norvell's first 2 years at Florida State. Mike Norvell went 3-6 and 5-7. Everybody's like, oh, my goodness, we got the wrong guy in here. And then what's happened the last 2 years? 10-3 and 13-1. Well, the main thing everybody looks at with Florida this year, and maybe rightfully so, is their schedule. They take on the toughest schedule in the entire country. You're talking about, you know, Miami of Florida and Florida State in the non-conference, a brutal SEC slate on top of it. They really have a tough schedule. But when I went over the team with Coach Napier, he said, hey, you know what? I don't know if the schedule is going to be as tough as you think when we look back at the end of the year. And I like the talent they have. They've got Graham Mertz, a quarterback who is the most efficient quarterback in the SEC last year. They got DJ Lagway they bring in behind him, a different type of quarterback, more mobile, more physically gifted. I like that combination. They've got the running backs. I think Florida is going to surprise a lot of folks this year. I don't think they're going to have an overwhelming record, you know, like 10 wins, 11 wins, because of the schedule. The schedule is an absolute gauntlet. But that's a very dangerous game for Miami, and it's in the swamp, and Florida is very good in the swamp. Remember last year they beat number 11 Tennessee in the swamp early on in the season. So this is clearly Napier's best team. His first 2 years, he was dealing with Dan Mullen's recruits, and Mullen's recruiting dropped off. Napier's had three good recruiting classes, and after having two inexperienced teams to start, both of his units ranked over number 100 in my experience chart. This year, they're all the way up to number 52 on the experience chart. So it's his most experienced team, most talented team, and I think they're better than expected this year.
Yeah, I think so, too, and I think that first game is going to be great, for a good test for Florida and for University of Miami. We'll get to University of Miami right now. Mario Cristobal has had a couple really good recruiting classes. He's brought in a ton of guys in the transfer portal. A ton of guys have left also. But I want you to start with the addition of Cam Ward, what it brings to this team. I thought last year they were a good quarterback away from winning a couple of those close games, including a couple of games where they just kind of blew it, that Georgia Tech game. I was there in the booth with Joe Zagacki and Don Bailey Jr. And I thought that people were going to start choking each other in the booth. It was so crazy at that point. But I think it's a little different this year because of Cam Ward. Talk about that first, the addition of Cam Ward to this Hurricanes team, which needed an arm, which needed a leader in that locker room. And I think they got it in Cam Ward.
Yeah, and Tyler Van Dyke actually opened up last year pretty good.
Pretty good.
4-0.
Right. Yes.
Yep. Yeah, 4-0. He's got 11-1 ratio, and you're like, wow, this is Tyler Van Dyke of his freshman year. Remember, he had that great freshman year, and then things sort of fell apart. And then Williams took over, led that upset over Clemson, and they had two touchdowns against Florida State. Then he broke his arm, and so it was a tough situation at quarterback. Now, Cam Ward's got to improve on the fumbles. That's the one thing I'm worried about. He had 12 fumbles last year, but I know talking to Coach Cristobal and going over the team with them, that's something they worked out. Ward overall last year had a 25-7 ratio. If he cuts down on the fumbles, he's going to be an exciting quarterback. In fact, I think he's a Heisman contender this year, especially with the surrounding talent. And, you know, not just Cam Ward, but the one of the pickups I really, really liked was after watching the spring game, Zach, I was a little concerned about the running back situation.
Yes.
And then Cristobal goes out and brings in Damian Martinez from Oregon State. And if Miami fans aren't familiar with this guy, he was one of the best running backs in a loaded Pac-12 last year. Rushed for 1,200 yards. Averaged 6.1 yards per carry, and he is a guy that can make people miss, really good vision. I think he's a massive pickup at the running back department. Plus, they bring the receivers back with Restrepo and George, and they add in a Sam Brown. That trio is the best returnees in the ACC and a solid offensive line, something that it's one of Cristobal's strengths, building an offensive line,
right.
And he has built this, and it's his third year. So they've got the experience, the physicality, the athletic ability. This dude could be a potentially dangerous offense led by your guy, Cam Ward.
Yeah, it should be a lot. This offense should be a lot of fun to watch this season because of Cam Ward, because they have that proven arm there, that NFL possible arm in Cam Ward, and a guy that knows this is the year for him to win. If he wants to win here, you know, come to this team and be the leader, and they have weapons. I do think they're a lot better on offense all over the place. I do think that offensive line, and Phil, I saw it last year at Media Day when I saw just a couple of those kids walk in there. These kids looked like NFL players. These were big, big boys. I know that all offensive linemen are big, 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", even up to like 6'7", and 300-plus pounds. These guys looked like pros already and learning from Mario Cristobal. And I think the other name that a lot of people might not know about, Alex Mirabal. I mean, this guy, you see him, you don't think he's coaching the coach of the offensive line, yet he is one of the most, like, respected guys I've ever seen when it comes to coaching that O-line, D-line, whatever it is. And man, oh man, does he know how to coach with Mario Cristobal and build these offensive linemen up. They've done a really good job recruiting. And the biggest thing to me over the last even 10 or 15 or 20 years with this Hurricanes team was they could recruit, can they coach? I think they got the right guys in place this year around Mario Cristobal. Then Alex Mirabal's got to be one of those top guys.
Oh, absolutely. I love Mirabal. And in fact, going over the team with Coach Cristobal, he's pushing him for the Joe Moore Award. I am a member of the Joe Moore Award Committee, and I have him up there. And how about adding a guy like Zach Carpenter from Indiana?
Right.
He's 6'5", 295. He's the runt of the group. So that touches on what you had there, Zach. I mean, right. If you come in and you're a 6'4" offensive lineman, you look small.
It's a crazy part because you see them lining up again, you know, against other guys, and you're like, wow, those guys are monsters. Who's that guy? Oh, that's going to be the starting center, right? That's going to be the starting center of the team this year. What about on the other side of the ball? How good is Reuben Bain? I mean, I saw this kid play in high school, and I saw him go up to IMG Academy, where nobody ever goes to play because you're going to lose, and kind of dominate a little bit. And he's dominated down here in high school for a couple years, and went to college, went to UM, and kind of dominated a little bit there as well. How good could Reuben Bain be as, like, kind of the spearhead of that defensive line?
Yeah, and I think he is clearly one of the best defensive linemen in the ACC. You're looking at a guy that came in as a true frosh, and last year had 7.5 sacks, 5 TFL. You know, he's 275 pounds on the outside, which you like, because that means he can hold the point as well as rush the quarterback. You don't want just a guy that's a pure pass rusher. So I think having Bain out there at that size and pass rush ability, it teamed with a Messidor and teamed with a Clark, and even Tyler Barron is a guy that could emerge this year. You know, he's came in from he's a transfer from Tennessee. And I think when you look at this defensive front, it's going to be the best. So offense and defensive front is always Cristobal's priority.
Right.
And I think he's hit some home runs right now.
Overall look on this Miami Hurricanes team and Mario Cristobal this year, where do you see them towards the end of the year? Where do you see them? Are they a potential or possible playoff team? Like, where do you see? I mean, Miami Hurricane fans at this point only want to hear you say they're going to win the national championship, but I like being realistic a little bit also. Where do you see this Hurricanes team at the end of the season, in the playoff, not in the playoff? What do you think?
To me, it all depends whether or not they win the ACC. I believe the ACC champ gets in.
Right.
And then, as I touched on, I think you're going to see a lot of SEC. There may be four or five SEC teams, three or four Big Ten teams to make the playoff. It's going to be tough, I think, for two or three teams from the ACC to get in there. However, when I look at Miami, I've got them tied for first in the ACC, and I've got them the highest ranked of the teams. I've got them number 10. I think that Florida game is crucial out of the stretch. It's crucial for Miami. It's crucial for Florida. It's crucial for both teams. But they play Louisville on the road this year. But they get Florida State at home, which I like. They get Virginia Tech at home, which I like. They do avoid Clemson, which is nice. So the schedule's manageable for Miami. And when I go through it, and what I do every year, Zach, is as soon as the magazine goes to the press, then I actually go through every single game for the upcoming season. I look at the matchups. I look at the history. I look at the, you know, the situation. And I don't have Miami a true underdog in any game. I've got the Florida game and Louisville game as toss-ups. I've got them favored in all the other games. And that's why I've got them number 10 in the country coming into the season. So I think if an ACC team is good, well, I think they can have a great shot at winning the ACC. Right. Let's just go there.
Yeah, just to get into that playoff there. All right, let's end on this one, Phil. Phil, you've been doing this for, like you said, 30 years. You put together one of the most, detailed and unbelievable preview magazines for any sport, and it doesn't matter where it is. And by the way, this year magazine exclusively, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, or philsteele.com. How much fun do you have doing this every single year? Because you do this, and this the details in this are... I mean, you can't even imagine. If you haven't read the magazine yet, shame on you yet. But if you have, you know what I'm talking about. How much fun does Phil Steele have doing this every single year?
Well, I tell you what, Zach, it is 7 months of hard labor to put this thing out. But you mentioned fun, and I will give you two areas of what I consider fun. I love talking to the head coaches, and I talked to over 120 of the 134 head coaches. I like the fact that they can tell me whatever about whatever player, and they know that it's safe with me. And so I like talking to the coaches. The other thing I really like, Zach, is what we're doing right now. This is my fun time of year. I get to talk football. There's no deadlines. There's no, okay, I got to get this team. I got to get this done. I'm just talking football right now for 2 months, and I love it. And so it's the love would come in doing the radio and shows after the magazine's gone to bed, and then talking to the head coaches.
Well, Phil, that's part of my love for this as well, reading your magazine and getting to chat with you for a big amount of time every single year talking college football. Like I said, now the college football season has started to me now that I've talked to Phil Steele at this point. Phil, thank you as always for coming on every single year with me, previewing college football. See, I got to get you on in the middle of the season. I got to see mid-season Phil Steele instead of just preseason Phil Steele. Yeah, I'm going to have to
Let's
get you back
it,
on.
Let's do it, Zach.
Here. I'm going to talk to the boys and get this set up. It's always great talking, Phil. Love the fact that we're so close to kickoff and everything for college football. This is the best time of the year coming up here, and great to talk to you as well. Phil Steele, College Football Insider, publisher of Phil Steele's College Football Preview Magazine. Like I said, Barnes & Noble or Books A Million down here in South Florida and Florida, or philsteele.com, your one-place destination for all of it. Phil, thanks as always for coming on Krantz's Corner. We'll talk to you again soon.
Hey, sounds great, Zach. Always enjoy the conversations, my friend.
You're the best. That's Phil Steele on a special edition here of College Football Preview on Krantz's Corner.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.